You're listening to Coach Your Brains Out by Gold Medal Squared. This is part two of our conversation with Women's National Team Assistant Coach Tama Miyashiro.
Welcome to Coach Your Brains Out, the show that explores learning from the top minds in volleyball and beyond. With your hosts, John Mayer, Billy Allen, Andrew Fuller, and Nils Nielsen.
Great. We're going to move on to reading the game now. And we hear this a lot from Karch included, that reading's the most important skill, but it still seems maybe a little foggy for some people. Can you start by defining what reading is and why it's such an important skill?
Yeah, I like how Karch describes it, but I'll try to put my spin on it, I guess. So for me, it's about identifying not only patterns that we see in the game, but I think the best players can identify what's not a part of the pattern. So it's like deciphering, like, ooh, that's different. That means something else is going to happen. So I think there's, you know, there's patterns. There's, you know, like typical plays that happen in system, out of system, and then you have the tendencies of players and understanding those, right? But I think in general, like, let's say if we're talking about defense, if I see an inside set, that means one thing. And of course, as you get to a level where people have range, that could mean something else. But in general, we all know what like an inside set means. They're going to go with it. And if somebody does something else with it, great. We have other people playing defense and yeah, anyway. So I think what I like to coach my players on is just like, hey, we know that set is off the net, but like, what are we going to do? What is our response? What is that information telling us? Because I think reading is part of getting the information, but now, hey, what does that actually mean for me? You know, like I can tell you all day, oh, that set's inside. Oh, that's wide. Oh, that's off. But like, do you actually understand the situation? And so I'm working through some of that with our players right now in terms of, hey, what are some of the situations that we see often in our game that allow me to make adjustments sooner? And I think what's hard is that we complicate it, we overcomplicate it, we are very attracted to motion, and so I see a lot of players just kind of following what the ball is doing, and sometimes they know it, sometimes they don't. And so reading is just I'm making sure my eyes are on the right parts of the game, and then I'm really quiet in my movements, and I'm making small upgrades as I go. And so, and that's like the other part of it, is just knowing how to react. And I think, you know, in general, if I'm watching a player that can read really well or see the game, it kind of feels like they're in the right spot very often and the ball finds them. If that makes sense. So you're just getting hit by the ball a lot on defense. You know, let's say we're reading the serve really well. Our platform is out early. You know, we're in these spots, you know, just a little sooner than maybe someone that's not that good at reading. So,
yeah, so it's an important skill. It seems like a hard skill to teach. So is there any drills that you like for serve receive to help someone get better at reading the line of the serve?
Yeah, I think it's nothing fancy, but just helping the players focus on like some details, you know? And so, first you can just start big picture, like where is the server running to? And I think between all of us, we haven't come across that many like no look servers. I mean, probably some, maybe even more on the beach, but we don't see a lot of no look servers. Okay. So just in general, where are they going? Where are they running to? That's going to tell us a lot. At least it should be able to, cut the court in half at least, like, oh, she's going to serve this way. And then second would just be, you know, getting a good idea and a good look at their shoulders in relationship to the ball, to the net, however you look at it, and their hand contact, and what's their hand doing, what part of the ball are they hitting. And if you're really dialed in, you can see their hand hitting the ball and at certain parts of their hand. And like just being able to see that really good detail is like a really good place to start. And as a coach, like I said, I don't do anything fancy, but I'll stand behind the player and say, hey, dial into this contact and tell me what you see. So the person will serve a ball. And as much as we want to think that we serve and contact the ball really square, we actually really don't. So you can get a lot of information that way and just figuring out what part of the hand it hits, the angle of it. And so I just ask them for some feedback. Like, what did you see? And sometimes early on, girls or players guess, or they like think they saw something, or they just want to give you an answer. And so what I try to do is I'm not like, no, that's not what I saw. But I just try to say, okay, hey, look, this is what I saw. And I'll literally show them on my hand, like, hey, this is what I saw. The ball hit like these three fingers. Therefore, that line is, you know, that's going to tell us and give us a good look at the line. And just talk them through the whole thing if you can. And we overlook that a lot. I think even for me as a coach early on, just really paying attention to hand contact and arm speed. It's just really helpful and a good reminder. In general.
Do you find that there's certain serves that deserve more training, like serving passers deep more often or short or left to right, or is it more player specific?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say that we maybe get a few more deeper serves, or like we really need to work on picking a side. And I'm only saying that, I'm not like, I didn't study that, but I'm only saying that because it's rare that someone beats us short and flat, because that's just harder to serve, you know? So let's say I had a player or like a little tutoring session, I will start definitely hitting serves so that they have to pick a side and open up. But I think that doesn't last very long before we stand back and we start to hit live serves at them, and really picking a focus to work on that allows us to just kind of take care of a bunch of things. So, you know, we might work on our shuffle, and we say 1, 2, 3. And so, you know, that's going to look different for all these different depths of serve. But if a player is kind of struggling with like, all right, I have to identify this serve going short right sooner. But obviously, like, I can rep that out for them and say, hey, it's a little 1, 2, 3, and let's get our angle out type of thing. So I think we tend to do that more. And then once we get into the live situation, you know, we're going to learn a ton. And there have been some times, like, even though I just said that, there have been some times where some players are like, hey, man, I'm not seeing that flat, short dropping serve as well. You know, like, let's get some reps on it. And what I might do is just maybe stand a few feet in and hit really flat serves, but just in general. And it's just like, hey, get a good look at my hand contact, the relationship to the net. And when you do see it, get going and get your feet going, get your angle out early. So it's I find myself being really careful of when I spend time doing really specific reps like that. That's a really long answer. Sorry.
Going back to some reading on the serve receive, you mentioned like, maybe you identify the path the server's taking on their jump serve or whatever. If you see those tendencies, or you read that, the shape of the hand, or like the path, or their, you know, an inside set, are you moving ahead of time? Is the read leading you to make that early move, or are you still balanced and waiting for contact, and then it's just like you're anticipating?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of, I like to call it like an upgrade. And so let's say someone's hitting like a high ball and you as a defender, our defender notices something. Let's say it's a left back defender. They're hitting a high ball in position two and you realize that she cannot hit true line. And that's while your eyes are on the hitter, you know? So there's that initial like, hey, I want to get to this spot because I just know that I'm going to dig a ton of balls here. But then as I see the play develop, I notice I know she can't hit down here, so I'm going to upgrade. So like that would be one time where I would tell my player, like, if you see that, let's upgrade. And I say upgrade, and that means you're going to step, like, I don't know, 6 inches offline. It's not a big move, and there's a little gray area, you know, versus like, what if she hits the ball off the block and it goes to your left, and we have to just be prepared to move. So if we see something really early, we can adjust or upgrade if you want to call it. And then ultimately, like as defenders, we just have to be ready to play a lot of things, a lot of balls off deflection, or we have to be able to run, you know? And so it's an upgrade, but we're not handcuffing ourselves to like this one shot that we think might happen, you know? So that's like, that's one thing that I would tell like our defenders. Let's say it's a serve. There's been times where our girls have played against the server for a long time. Like, you know, there's national team players and from other countries that we've seen for literally 10 years. And, you know, there's just this history that we know. So there's going to be some times where like Kelsey or Jordan, I'll see them make an adjustment and I'll be like, hey, what are you thinking here? Because it's kind of like out of the ordinary for us. And they're like, yeah, I saw the toss go that way and I saw her finish. And so I just kind of got to jump on it. But if we see something clearly enough to move, we just try to tell our girls to do it early. If that's possible. I know the game happens really fast, but that would be my one thing. And yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And what are some other ways you train and teach reading on defense? It sounds like you have a lot of conversations. Are there any drills you do that focus on reading?
I think Karch does a nice job. We just try to coach our girls up on, you know, we could be doing like a 3-on-3 back row type of queen of the court, not even queen of the court, just 3-on-3. And we just try to coach them and cue up their eyes. And so what we're hoping is we just remind them to get on the next actor or the next action that's going to help us decide what we're going to do. So like, say we were playing 3-on-3 and I was playing defense against you guys. Once I identify that the ball is not being dug over the net, I want to look at the setter and she's going to tell me a lot. I'm going to watch her release, you know, the top third, is she arching? I'm going to try to get information from her. And then she's going to set the ball. And as soon as she releases, I'm going to have some idea of where it's going. And then once I know, I'm going to get on the hitter. So as a coach, like if you kind of just played out that little sequence right there, I'm just reminding my players, get on the setter. All right, get on the hitter. I could throw in like, what do you see from her arm? Is it over? That type of thing. So with my dialogue, I'm trying to cue up and try to stay ahead of it. You know, like I can't be like, get on the setter and she's setting it. So as soon as that dig goes up, I'm yelling, get on the setter. And then I like to stand, let's say we're doing a drill like that. I like to stand in front of them so that I can see their eyes. And then that's going to just reiterate like what they're actually looking at. And so obviously you have the actual response. Like if they're like just a split second late, you're going to tell because their reaction is going to be a little slower. Right. So I like to stand in a position where I can see their eyes. And if you're, as you guys know, if you're a coach and you're watching a player's eyes and you see them go up and down and whatever extra, then you know that they're following the ball. So it's like making sure they know at what point do I get on the next thing. And then, and once they have an idea of the sequence, then now you're just trying to point out little details like, hey, did you see that ball was tight? What does that mean? Did you see that it was just too low for that quick hitter to swing at it? Like, I got a crash for the tip. So it's, like I said earlier, helping them through that sequence, but then also like adding another layer to it. And okay, I saw that you saw the hitter's arm did not get back, but why did you stay here? Like, go get the tip, you know? So just kind of helping them through that. And like, what we're trying to do is just kill time. We're trying to have all these reactions happen sooner, because we know if I see that tip just a little sooner, that could mean the difference between me having to pancake the ball or me having to play it with two hands on my belly, like that type of thing. So I think that's a big thing. It's just in the drills that we set up that are pretty close to live volleyball, is coaching them up on what to look at and making sure they understand, now that I have the information, what am I going to do?
Nice. And I find it's a lot easier to read players I train against a lot, and you know, I play against, because you've seen their hits and their tendencies. Do you have any tips for reading a new opponent? Is just a matter of like directing your eyesight to the right spaces, or how do you teach that, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. It's just making sure that work is done before in terms of what to look at, you know. And I'm trying to think of, maybe there's a time we play someone where we don't know anything about. Actually, this sometimes happens to us in Nations League, because some countries will send, like, let's say a younger team to the first 2 weeks, let's say. So, you know, as coaches, you're like, man, I'm trying to get some video on this player, and then you don't find it. And so what we do, we have a game plan, and then I'm just reminding my girls, my blockers and my defenders and my passers, like, hey, let's stay in our default defense. Let's get a good look at the hitter. Let's get a good look at the set. Let's get a good look off the server, and make sure we're ready to move, and make sure we're balanced on contact and we're not guessing. And just those reminders often. And then let's say we're in a match or practice, I guess. And I don't know, say new kid comes in, you just don't know that much. Okay, let's have a good defense to start with. And then as soon as we get some type of information, like, we are jumping on it. We're not waiting for her to like just keep doing the same thing over. We're coming up with a plan. We're always looking to upgrade, and we're always looking to problem solve. And so I think, you know, they're all good skills to have. You have to read, but then you also, in volleyball, you have to be able to adjust. And so I know, I see my job is just to remind them a lot. And if I'm on the bench charting the match, then I can give them some information. But, you know, how much information you're going to get in one set? So it's crucial, like you said, just understanding situations and then being able to respond.
Do you think the film transfers, like, if it's someone you haven't played before or against, is it worth just watching more and more film so you get a better, like, better read, better?
I think if to an extent, for example, we try to keep things simple, you know, and simple meaning, I mean, I'm not trying to like make the video session shorter, not that simple. I just don't want to overcomplicate situations. I don't want to show too much. And so we like to show strong tendencies, for example. And, you know, with some of the players that we see, they just have so much range and it's awesome. But when you really study them, they have a couple stronger tendencies than others. And so it's kind of just identifying that and like really seeing the situation right in front of you and reacting, you know. And so I think there's a lot of trust that goes into that, and just, hey, I can look at this hitter and I can be here and can be stopped and I can react, versus if we just don't have a ton on someone, we might show it if we think it's going to be helpful. But you know, like we might have like one match or one set on a player that we're about to play. Like, yeah, I don't know. If you have a strong tendency, we might show it. But honestly, if not, we won't. So is that, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
You passed.
Yes.
Congrats. All right. So we have some listener questions. We'll close with those. The first one is from someone named Courtney Thompson.
She would have a question.
She's got lots of questions. She said, you're the best teammate she's ever had. So she wanted to ask, what does it mean for you to be a good teammate?
Oh, thanks, Court. I think in general, like how I viewed that part of myself was that it's just like way more fun playing with good teammates, you know? So I try to be that person. And what I found was even at the highest level, those relationships that you build are going to last a lot longer than your volleyball career. Volleyball is just more fun when you build those really good relationships. And so try to be that. I also know that when I played on teams that were really tight and really good teammates, you know, I'm not saying we were best friends, but we were good teammates and we had each other's back, that just that whole experience was a blast. And then, you know, I've been like so lucky. I've played on a lot of good teams. And so when you combine, you know, my nerdy volleyball self and good teammates, it's just really fun. And I don't know, there's a couple of things that I thought about every day in terms of being a good teammate. I knew one, I wasn't always going to be the fastest, the strongest, the perfect volleyball. It wasn't, you know, I knew that was like what I was striving to do, but I knew I wasn't going to make an Olympic roster if I could out sprint the other libero, you know? And so I had to rely on some of these other skills, my ability to communicate, my ability to literally have people's back and like support them. I knew that would be a really good thing for like everyone around me and also for me, because the more I thought about myself, I think the worse I played. And so of course I was trying to improve, but trying to be helpful to others around me. And then it's just nice to feel supported. So I wanted to be that for other people.
And Courtney also asks, if you started your coaching career all over again, what would be the piece of advice you'd tell yourself?
Dang, Court.
Tough one.
Yeah. You know, I think what she's asking me is one of the biggest lessons I've been learning, but, so I think one thing that I keep learning through coaching is just this ability to communicate. And there's so many things that go into that. I grew up in Hawaii, and you could probably already tell that my grammar is not the best. And I also sometimes mumble and like I shortcut words all the time. And so like just being really clear in what I'm saying, and then making sure that I'm checking for understanding. And so, you know, like I could like say a phrase to a player and be like, good. And they'll say, yeah, because they just don't want to say no. And they're too scared to say no. And then when I check with them later, hey, what did you understand from that? And they're like, yeah. And they would explain it to me. And I'm like, whoa, I was way off. So what I found was trying to be clear in my communication, whether I'm like teaching a new skill or presenting something to the group, is making sure I was like very clear. And then in that same conversation is trying to ask like, what did you understand from this? You know, not only like, how do you feel about it, but like, tell me what I just taught you. So that has been like instrumental for me, because I've been around, you know, like the USA team for a while. And so a lot of things are like natural, or however you want to call it, like a habit. And it's so easy to assume that people like know what you're talking about. And so I just try to make sure I'm really clear, detail oriented. And then I'm just trying to get better at asking questions instead of like, you got it. And that's it. So that's not end conversation. That's that still needs to go on. So that's a big thing I'm kind of learning. And I think a lot of older coaches have just told me people really enjoy volleyball. I guess other things when they know they're improving and they're getting better. And so I just try to make sure that at least with our 22 to 30 year olds, that they have some say in the process, in their process to improve. And what I find is it's easier for them to buy in. They're way more into it when they have a say in it. And it's not like I go and say like, what do you want to do? It's not that. It's, hey, let's watch some video. Let's study ourselves. And here's what I'm seeing. What do you see? Okay, great. Usually we're on the same page. And okay, let's figure out a plan. How are we going to attack this? So that's been a fun journey. Something that I think if I would have attacked that early on, that would have been, even better, I guess.
Last question from Courtney. What's the meaning behind coaching for you?
The meaning behind coaching. You get to spend time around a lot of people that you enjoy being around, doing something really cool. You know, it's striving to do something great and something hard. That actually is a big part of what I like to do and what I know about myself is I like doing hard things and I like to surround myself with good people, and that's a really good descriptor of like the situation I'm in right now. I like that coaching, although hard, you know, we all know how hard it is. Sometimes it's not even about volleyball, but you get to, at least you try to make an impact on people and their journeys of like whatever they want to do. And we, you know, some of us call it mastery, but if I can help someone on their way to whatever they're trying to achieve, like I'm all for it. And it's a really fun process to be part of, and it's super fun. And what I find is I learn a lot about myself, and obviously the coaching part of it, but that's been like super, fun for me, and it just makes everything a little bit more meaningful as a whole.
Nice. All right, we got one more from Karch Karai. He asks, how are you able to make the transition from player to coach so quickly? You retired in 2016 and started coaching the next season. You coached former teammates. Most teammates would have a hard time accepting coaching from someone they just finished playing with. So how'd you do it?
All I have to say is these people are sneaky. I just saw Karch like 5 hours ago. Anyway,
we're sneaky.
So that transition, it was, I played in college and really liked the staff that I played for. Like, loved it. I loved my experience, and I realized how impactful those coaches were on not only volleyball but my life. And so I was like, wow, that's like super cool, and I love volleyball. So I went through this phase where I was like, I really want to be a coach. And then, when you play for some years, you're like, do I really want to do this more? So I had some of those thoughts in my mind when I was finishing up playing in 2016. I was coming back from a knee surgery. And what happened was, you know, as soon as I realized and was basically came to that realization that I could no longer be in the running for Rio. I had some like really, I don't know, deep thought situations where I was like, what do I want to do? I my body was kind of telling me to stop. And so, yeah, it's just like the typical, like, I mean, we all went through that, but I had to really think, okay, what do I want to do? An opportunity came up to go volunteer at Arizona State. And I wanted to get like the true taste of what this was like coaching. And I learned so much. There was things I loved about coaching. There were things that I wasn't like super pumped about, but that experience really helped me see some, you know, obviously the collegiate game, but parts of the game that I couldn't see as just being a player for a long time. And then I actually got to go home to Hawaii for, I don't know, like a month. And I had to like just really think about, you know, what was important to me to move on to, what was, if I had the ideal situation, like what things would I need, not like necessarily like super all about coaching at that point. But what I realized is kind of what I touched on earlier is I wanted to be challenged. I still loved volleyball. Yeah, I obviously didn't want to play it, but, and then I don't know, it kind of fell, the pieces fell into place, and Karch asked me if I wanted to, if I was interested in joining his staff. And so that was like quite like the 2 weeks that I was thinking like, all right, because you as a player, you know what that means, kind of, you know, 4 years. Obviously you take it year by year, but 4 years, and that's, you know, on the road for 4 weeks at a time, that's coaching year round, and all these things. So what I realized was I had to approach it like literally everyone teach me everything, teach me how to teach me how to teach, like teach me how to learn, teach me how to be good for players. I needed to learn all of it. And what I tried to like do was anything that was like a teaching moment, I try to be like fully engaged, because I knew I had some ground to make up. Like just however many months ago, I was trying to pass the ball to the target still. And now I'm on the other side of it. And I'm a part of these young ladies' journeys to try to become Olympians, you know? So I try to go with an open mind and learn as much as I could, put myself in positions that were pretty uncomfortable. I remember like one of my first video sessions that I had in front of like 30 girls. I found that I was talking to the group like I was talking to one person, and like just had all these like side comments and was making fun of myself, and like totally like I think they like enjoyed laughing at me, but it's like I'm not sure if I actually got the message to anybody. And so like that, just that experience, and like knowing that I potentially could have done a bad job, like was so like nerve-wracking for me. Like I got so anxious because I was like, okay, I could have done that better. If I did this, I would do that better. And so sitting in that space was like so hard for me at first, so different, so uncomfortable. But that was my flat, that was like the signal to me that I was right where I should be. But it was definitely hard, you know. We're all perfectionists. So I was like, man, I should have crushed that. And then, you know, you give yourself some grace. So like, why should you have crushed that? That's the first time you ever did that. The player part of it is some of the girls in that very room, like they just knew me, you know, they knew I had good intentions. They knew what I was trying to get to. And of course, a couple laughs in there didn't hurt. So the players, you know, some of the girls that I played with, like all the props to them, because they're professional. They're very aware of what they do. Let's say if I have to coach them, I think the best example would be, and I don't think Feluca would be mad, but like she has a nickname and she calls me Punchy. And in practice, one time she called me that and she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she's like, Tama. And so she caught herself like in that space where she wanted to address me as her friend, and quickly was like, it clicked that, hey, for this space, for these 2 hours, like I'm going to try to be good for you too, as well. And so A lot of my old teammates, they've just, you know, they know how much that means to me, that I don't have to like be so conscious about what I'm doing and that line, you know, and not crossing it. And so I got lucky, I would say. And so I think, sorry, the only other part that I would say that helped is just they knew where I was coming from, because I tried to live that every day. And so they knew I was going to admit when I wasn't perfect. I knew I was going to admit like when I didn't have all the answers, yet I was going to hold them to a really good standard. And I would do it in a way that wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to yell at anyone in front of the whole team. I'm a firm believer in one-on-one talk and uplifting them and challenging them at the same time. So I think that helped.
Well, I'm sure your players are glad you made the transition and are coaching them. And we're glad you came on the show. Thank you for sharing so much knowledge with us.
Yeah, thanks you guys. And thanks for all the work you're doing with this. It's been awesome. Listen to a few of them too.
Cool, appreciate it. And good luck, I guess, once you guys get back in the gym.
Yeah, thanks, guys.